You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Okay, round three. Are you up for it? I hope so. I really worked hard on this one. This one took a long time. Well, we are going to focus on who and not what. And we are on week three of our series that deals with how to live a godly life in times that don't feel so godlike. And we've looked at answering God's call to say, "Yes, God, I'm with you." And we've considered being more like the Good Samaritan and the guy in the ditch who just may live differently after being saved. Now we're going to look at what's really important in the practice of living our faith lives. We're going to explore the story and behavior of Mary and Martha. Now, be forewarned, we can't easily take sides on this one. We may have tried to do so in the past, but I'm here to tell you, after reading several interpretations, commentaries, and expositions on this little section of the Gospel according to Luke, I've learned that identifying with one woman's actions over another will lead us down the wrong path. Because it's not just about Martha, the hardworking hostess who wants Jesus to have a perfect meal and a perfect time. And it's not just about Mary either. Clever, brazen woman who not only gets out of being the sous chef, but also decides to take advantage of their learned guest's visit to sit at his feet like any good disciple might do, even if she's a woman. The whole point of this story, the focus of all their attention, action, and fuss, is on Jesus, their guest, the true host of their lives, the guy who knows God and who knows what God wants from us all. But that's not quite how it all came down. Martha had some issues. We know this because Jesus says it himself, and I'm paraphrasing here. "Martha, you're worried and bothered about many things, but there's really only one thing you need, my love and my message about God's love for you." And Mary chose to hear it. It was the good choice. And no one, not even you, should take it from her. The translation I use today is from the New American Standard Bible, which runs very close to what's called Young's Literal Translation, which came from the Greek, the original Greek. So if you're ever curious about what it's really supposed to say, way, way, way back before 300 versions of the Bible showed up, go to Young's Literal Translation and you'll be able to see. It's very different. And I'll get back off my little soapbox. Okay. And so, she was distracted, and the word that was used there was distracted. She was distracted from seeing how special this time with Jesus could be because details regarding her service to Jesus got in the way. She loved Jesus. And in John's version, she is the Martha of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. So we know there is a deep, abiding friendship here. He's not a stranger coming into their house. And I'm pretty sure Martha was just as thrilled to have Jesus for dinner as anybody might be. So she set about trying to honor him with an amazing meal. That's something any of us would do. She had the best and the right intentions to begin with. But as soon as Martha got annoyed with her sister, and you read it really well, for not taking part in the preparations, as soon as Martha stomped into the living room to try to get Jesus to tell Mary to help her, the focus shifted from honoring the guest to what? Honoring the preparation. Wrong focus, Martha. And that's where Jesus had to offer a gentle reminder to get her attention. He could have said to Martha, "Hey, let's just eat leftovers. Come on and sit with us and let's all talk." But he didn't. Without wanting to hurt Martha's feelings, Jesus reminded her that there was only one thing that was necessary. He was with them. And Mary had chosen to spend her time with him. It was the good choice. And please note, that literal translation is good, not better. There's a big distinction there. In this very short version of the story, because Luke does things that way, Luke characteristically provided us with a real-life example of what it looks like to be distracted in our faith lives, to put the emphasis on the wrong stuff while God stands aside waiting for us to come around. So let's take a little break from this drama and turn our attention to how we can be distracted in our lives of faith, especially in our church families, which is this body here, especially in these times when there's so much other stuff going on. And we can start with me. I love talking about myself. As a former pastor of a church, I can easily identify what I did that got in the way of me really feeling God's love and focusing on God's purpose in my own life. I spent a lot of time being Martha. There were 100 little details that needed to be dealt with from one day to the next in the administrative side of running a small church, and especially for someone like me with little or no training in just how to do that. And there were often lots of little interruptions to the flow of any day in my work. Interruptions that sometimes annoyed me, as Martha was annoyed by her sister's lack of help in the kitchen. My work didn't always get done, or I missed details because I got distracted. And it made me a little resentful. I know the Mary in me wanted to participate more, but the Martha me was and is, much stronger, much more like my true personality, especially when it came to preparing for Sunday morning messages. As a non-seminary trained pastor, each week I would read several sources and commentaries, spending extra time and energy trying to learn about God and God's story, pounding away on my laptop, writing the week's message, knowing that I was sitting at the feet of some seriously theologically intelligent folk, just like the guy who's pastor here. Underneath all my preparation, there was a worry about how accurately I was interpreting Scripture and how well I could deliver the particular message of that word to my congregation. I fussed about these things. Here's the list. Would I be able to say what God truly intends? Was God really speaking through me, or was I trying to manipulate what I heard to say what I think people needed to hear? Did I make any sense at all? Like Martha preparing the finest meal for Jesus, I put myself under pressure to deliver the most meaningful sermon to my people and to God, and I still do. So after hearing how I welcomed God's presence in my church through my preparations as a pastor, would you say that the focus was on God, or the focus was on the business of doing work for God? Did I zero in on and share honest feelings about God and God's place in our lives, or was I intent on displaying my own sense of accomplishment and security as I attempted to talk about God in ways that made me worthy in the eyes of the people of my church? Tough questions. And lately, I've been finding that when I focus on the stuff around God instead of the focus right on God, my distractions grow more important. They literally push aside the good choice of just being with God. And the work I do in all parts of my world starts to feel repetitive and useless. because the who part of all this faith stuff gets pushed aside when I care more about the what. It's pretty clear to me, Martha definitely influences the life of this pastor. And I bet if I asked you to consider times when you are more like Martha yourselves, you could share some pretty interesting examples. And if I were to apply the words of wisdom for today to my own life, the gentle message from Jesus I should hear would go something like this. Bring God to the center of all things, and let God guide you and how you feel, what you do, and what you say at all times. Start with God, the rest will follow. Well, that's my Mary and Martha story. So how about you? How about us? Us? All of us. You and me in this church, in any church, where we work together to seek a relationship with God. What's our Mary and Martha story? Are we, who call ourselves people of God, a family in faith, are we finding ourselves landing more on the Martha side of how we welcome God to our house? Are there places where we put too much emphasis on the how or what and not enough emphasis on seeking to better know the source of our being, the reason we come together in the first place? Are we too caught up in the processes of doing church and forgetting that just being with God is the good way to stay close to God? When we come together for worship or for our different groups within the church family, do we place God in the middle of what we do, or do we focus more on our own agendas? And as individual people of faith, when we take a look at our personal role, how do we participate in church life? Where do we land on the scale that measures how Martha-like or Mary-like we are? In a UCC scripture resource that I use called Feasting on the Word, Presbyterian pastor and commentator Cynthia Jarvis observes this, which is true of so many congregations all over the world. And here's a quote. A community that is hospitable to Christ is a community marked by the attention the community gives to God's word. This is good. This is good. But she adds this cautionary note and another quote. A church that has been led to be worried and distracted by many things inevitably will be a community that dwells in the shallows of frantic potlucks, anxious stewardship campaigns, and events designed simply to perpetuate the institution. Decisions will be made in meetings without a hint of God's reign. Food and drink will appear at table without Christ being recognized in the breaking of the bread. Social issues may be addressed, but the gospel is missed in acts that partake of politics as usual. In other words, when a church settles in and creates a strong community within itself, there is a danger that it can become the church that Reverend Jarvis just described. The stuff gets done, all right, but the focus sometimes seems to shift. As members become more and more comfortable and confident with their own abilities to make doing church run smoothly, as they become a body that functions cooperatively together with really good intentions, so much of that energy becomes poured into the how of doing church, and they sort of forget about the God who brought them together. They sort of forget to turn to God for guidance. forget that God should be the center of all that is said and done in their church family. Forget to make the good choice. Then a faithful community exists not to celebrate and share deep love with and for God, but to sustain itself for the sake of the institution. Sometimes even to preserve a dear old building, and I've seen this happen in Prescott. A congregation can risk becoming a church full of Marthas. Imagine. So you may say, yeah, Jane, we hear you, but if we're more like Mary, how does anything worthwhile get done? And you're right, and I have an answer, or at least some thoughts that I can share. The tension created by hearing last week's call to be Good Samaritans or Reformed Guys in the Ditch, and this week's message to be more like Mary and focus on the Holy Guest's presence in our lives, that can make for some challenging times in our existence, both in and out of church in today's world. The need to help others is real. And I don't know about you, but I have certainly noticed more and more church communities are stepping up to fill in huge gaps that are being created by ineffective and discontinued social and government agencies. As people of God, we can't just look the other way to navel gaze with one another about God's love while so many suffer, while there's so much to do. And I'd say modern-day circumstances are way too complicated to be forced to choose either the Mary or the Martha method of following Jesus and loving God. So by now, if you're not asleep, you've probably guessed that there is no absolute choice here, but we do have an option. Theologian, poet, and storyteller John Shea offers some insight for us, and I've got another paraphrase for you. We don't have to choose between Mary and Martha's reaction to the presence of Jesus, because God is both inside and outside, sustaining us while summoning us to work and through our service to bring about a world of justice, mercy, and peace. It's not an either-or message. It's a both-and message. I'm sure God appreciates that we put purposeful effort into what we do to honor God's presence in our lives. But just like Jesus said in our scripture today, I bet God really likes it when we make the good choice to also treasure our time with God and remember who God is, what God does, and how God's role on earth can influence all that we are in all that we do. So you can relax. It looks like we don't have to worry about being one or the other. We can be a little both like Mary and Martha, and I think that feels better. We can, we should, apply the best of both personalities in and out of our church home to work being done in the name of the Holy One. And while we're at it, we should remember to bring God to the center of all things and let God guide how you feel, what you do, and what you say at all times. Start with God. The rest will follow. I think the Martha in all of us can live with that. And we can say, Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.